associate producer, Mr. Bob Fisher, is with us today. I didn't have my sound pushed up there. And he's going to bring us another Destination Canada. And it's top of the morning to you, Bob.
And the rest of the day to you, sir.
You got it right.
Did I say that right?
Well, you got it exactly right. And you're not even Irish.
Well, way back.
Way back.
You know, there's nothing more Irish than an Irish American.
And there's nothing more Irish than everybody on St. Patrick's Day.
That's right.
Now, today we're going to talk about Saskatchewan. And in your words, it's one of the friendliest destinations in North America, where you can sit on your porch and watch your dog run away for 3 days. Let's start with that.
Yeah, that's the quintessential Saskatchewan joke, and it is true. I should mention, by the way, Roy, I'm going to talk a mile a minute here, because this was one of the best travel experiences I've had in the last 12 months.
Well, we're here to listen.
It's pretty close to home to me, but I just want to point out, first of all, that 2005 is Saskatchewan's centennial. Saskatchewan actually became a province of Canada, a full province of Canada in 1905, and it was created from what was then called the Northwest Territories. And I'm just giving folks a little bit of a perspective here, because the Northwest Territories is where the Mounties came from, and they were originally called the Northwest Mounted Police. Today, of course, they're the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
And his dog King.
Yeah, but his dog King.
Sergeant Preston.
Rosemarie, you know the whole thing.
Well, we know Sergeant Preston, of course.
We
grew up, we're south of the border, but we grew up with Sergeant Preston.
It's funny, I met a lot of Americans when I was in Saskatchewan, who told exactly those kinds of stories. But it's been a great year for Saskatchewan. Obviously, it's been a terrific party for them. It's ongoing, and there's so much that's going on out there. But, you know, what really struck me about this, now that we have started the new feature, Rediscovering America, Travel Treasures Close to Home, on the show, and going to great places like the Finger Lakes, and I was down in Lee County, which I'm going to be talking about, it's got me back into the Rediscovering Canada Travel Treasures Close to Home mode. And even though we do the Destination Canada feature, but when I got to Saskatchewan last June, I was there in early June, it really brought it home to me how important it is to go back to some of the places that in your own country that you've been to, or maybe you've never been to before.
Well, you make a very bold prediction, and that is that Saskatchewan will become the next big travel discovery in North America.
And you know what? I really believe that. I really believe that. Because Saskatchewan, if we look at the market, and I was really interested in the discussion between you and Chris, but we have to look at the market. What's happening globally in terms of travel? What do people want? What are they looking for? Well, we know that the 50-plus demographic is the most important in the industry.
Yes.
Now, and this is a demographic of people who really want a renewed perspective on life, on all things, but especially on travel. And but they want to get there. They want to get there in comfort. This is Saskatchewan. When you go to Saskatchewan, you will get a renewed sense of space. And I mean geographical, topographical space, because it is the northern limit of the Great Plains of North America.
Well, you say it's not unlike places like Montana and the Great Plains of the U.S., big sky country.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, it is big sky country. And, you know, and I think this is important because most of us are living in urban areas, and we don't see the sky. If we see the sky, it tends to be gray. When you're in Saskatchewan and in big sky country, if I just take that, the sky is the most intense, deep blue. You can almost penetrate it. But the other space that you really discover in Saskatchewan, certainly that I did, is a personal sense of space. You really, once again, you get to sit back and you look around you and say, okay, where am I in relationship to, and here it comes because this is the title of the article, where am I in relationship to the land and the landscape? And do you have any idea, do you know what I'm saying when I say in the article, learning from the landscape?
No, absolutely, because as you know, traveled a great deal, and it's very close to my heart.
Yeah, and this is what really Saskatchewan as prairie country is all about. It's the heart and the soul of this, what I say is a spectacular part of Canada, and is spectacular. It's omnipresent in the land, and the land and the landscape determine the people of Saskatchewan, their values, their traditions, but more importantly, a very intense interdependent relationship with the prairie, with the land. This was not, for people that immigrated here, it was not an easy place to come to because, first of all, it's in the geographical center of Canada and of North America, by the way.
Exactly.
Capital city, Regina, I believe, is the city that's the most geographically centered on the continent. I know people that go to the prairies and they actually experience a kind of cultural shock because it is so open. There is so much space. And people have been known to actually suffer agoraphobia and they can't even get out of the car. But once you start to just sit back and look at the space and really appreciate it and think about it, there's this kind of transformation that occurs. You leave behind that other space that you know so well, and you begin to develop a new relationship with the environment. Saskatchewan was also, and the Great Plains, as we know, was great First Nations territories. 10,000 years ago, the first Aboriginal people, of course, were living on this land and living from the land, and especially in Canada we call them now the bison, but the buffalo. This was where, the buffalo...
The buffalo roamed, did they? Right.
And even today, rarely is heard a discouraging word and all that sort of thing.
Well, you're saying it's one of the friendliest destinations on the American continent.
And part of the reason, and a part of the interconnectedness between the people and the landscape is, and that's why it is one of the friendliest destinations I've been to, because the people of Saskatchewan have had to learn, because of the great spaces, because of great boom and bust times, especially the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl of the Dirty 30s, which, was happening in the United States as well as Canada, and the boom times, this is the breadbasket of the world, the great wheat fields, but they had to learn to stick together in an environment in which they were far apart from each other. That is the nature of the Great Plains. And so what developed in Saskatchewan was a culture, a highly cooperative culture. It's a place where, even on a governmental level, the cooperative movement, which started in Europe, really took hold. And this was where people worked together. For example, they established credit unions. Saskatchewan, even today, has government auto insurance, government telephone system called SaskTel, and it even has a government-run energy corporation. But what emerged also from Saskatchewan and from this lifestyle of we've got to be cooperative, we've got to be collaborative, we've got to have a communal lifestyle. What emerged was what many people point to in Canada as one of our greatest achievements in this nation, and that is healthcare, universal healthcare, hospital and Medicare. And
something that we should look at in this country, actually.
Well, you have and you continue to, and you know, there are all kinds of people that lead the way on that. But Saskatchewan is where that all started. And I want to talk to you. I want to go, first of all, to the capital of Regina, which is a beautiful city out in the middle of the prairie. And as I say in my article, it's, I give Regina my vote for the most contextual and successfully integrated urban setting and design. This city, a beautiful, beautiful city, that manages to blend with the natural environment, with the prairie. And when you go there, and I hope lots of people do, because, as I said, this is the next big discovery in the travel industry in North America and elsewhere. When you go there and to Regina, look at the beautiful trees and these tree-lined, shady streets. Every one of those trees is not indigenous to the prairie. They were brought in and they were hand-planted. But they have built that city, like so much of Saskatchewan, to blend with the natural environment.
But unlike a lot of other areas with wide open land, in southern Saskatchewan, one of the big advantages was the lands were very fertile, of course, weren't they?
Exactly, and that's where geology and time, and here I point out when I get to the point in the article about the Qu'Appelle Valley, I point out that you have to imagine the last great glacier on the continent retreating north across the Great Plains. And as that, you know, and just imagine the power of this great glaciation process as it retreated across the land, and of course it deposited topsoil. It also left all kinds of rivers and natural smaller water areas. Saskatchewan, by the way, there is a lot of water in Saskatchewan, certainly in the water table, but also people tend to think of it. We have that fixed notion, as I said in my editorial on the website. We have a fixed notion of areas and of Saskatchewan, for example, being this totally flat land. And there are great areas where it is true you can sit and watch your dog run away for 3 days. But there are a lot of areas there's in Saskatchewan, especially in the north, where the terrain is quite different. But it's the interplay of geology, time, and human culture, especially the Aboriginal culture. And I go into this to a fair extent in this article because the Great Plains, both in what is now Canada and the United States, the Great Plains were where the Aboriginal people lived off the land, lived off the buffalo, and lived in a very unique environment. And am I talking too fast here?
No. Go right ahead. I'm letting you run with it because you're obviously you put a lot of time into this.
This whole area, you know, was once the bottom of a sea. And once that sea retreated millions of years ago, and then the ice ages started and the glacier retreated, and it left an area that, as I said, became the breadbasket of the world.
Now, how about architecture and those sorts of things, Bob?
Yeah, you look at some of the pictures on the website that I've put up there. Let me talk about three different things. First of all, there's the classic hotel architecture of the great Canadian Railway hotels, and I had the good fortune to stay in two of them. And on the website, in the article, there's an interview with Stéphane Dupré, who is the director of marketing of the Delta Bessborough in Saskatoon. And he's also, like so many people from Saskatchewan, he really has his pulse on the history of the place. And I interviewed him, and he'll tell you about that. You will find in Saskatchewan classic chateau-style hotels. You also find very modern architecture, and this is especially true in downtown Regina. They do this great thing with steel and glass buildings that actually reflect the colors of the prairies. And that's how I started the article, because I was there in early June. It had been a wet spring, and the prairie was the most multicolored I think it's probably been in a long time. There was every shade of green in the natural palette because of the wet spring. The canola was ripe, and it was this brilliant gold. And then there were the fields. I don't know whether you've ever seen fields of, I'm going to forget the name, of flax, lavender-colored flax.
Yes.
And what the towns and the cities do, and the First Nations cultures as well, somewhat like New Mexico, they reflect all those colors and all those textures.
Yeah,
in the
absolutely.
Land.
Yeah, gorgeous, yes.
Yeah. And that's very obvious in the pictures I chose.
Well, and we might just take a moment to mention once again that for those that have access to their computer, if they go to the site TTRN, or if you're on the site listening to the show, just go to this article, which is on Destination Canada, and the photos are spectacular. And as Bob just mentioned, there are even some audio clips on some interviews that he did with some of the people that he's just mentioned. But continue on, Bob. I'm sorry.
Well, I wanted to sort of developed my own Saskatchewan motto when I went out there, which is anticipate everything, be surprised by nothing. It was for me, it was a reconnecting. It really was very much a rediscovering a part of Canada that I'm a little bit ashamed, not a lot, but a little bit ashamed to say that I didn't know that well. And I went there with a fixed notion of Saskatchewan, the prairies, etc. And when I discovered the integration of people, culture, and land, it really resonated with me. I remember this one point, Roy. I'm heading north from Regina to Saskatoon on what's called the Louis Riel Trail, and explain all about Louis Riel in the article. And it is the typical prairie road that it goes straight north. And you, literally as far as the eye can see, and you're moving along. It's as if you are not moving. The road is moving you along, and it's as if the prairie on either side of the road is like two. I call them buffer zones, and it's as if they're putting a gentle pressure on you and on the road to move you forward. And that is the nature of the prairie.
Yeah, I've experienced that. In fact, there's sometimes where there's a gully or a dip, and as you start going up, it really looks like your car. If you stop for a moment, it looks like your car is going backwards instead
That's
of forward.
Right. That's right. And much of the prairie landscape is I'm not sure I'd call it an optical illusion, but it is definitely an optical trick. And just the distances, for example, you know, I'm talking about those highways that are straight lines, and yet there's that optical illusion, if you like, where
the
ribbon of highway comes together at one point. And then off in the distance, you will see, and again, back to architecture, I know I'm going all over the place, but this is kind of a prairie experience too, you will see some of the few remaining grain elevators. And because the communities were separate and somewhat far apart.
Now, by grain elevators, you mean silos?
It's more than that. It's a very distinctive form of architecture. Actually, it's recognized as, and some of these grain elevators are recognized as almost works of art, and I've put a couple of pictures up there on the website, and when you look at them, you'll see that these are places where, yes, the farmers brought their wheat, brought their grains, and stored them, and then the railways came to the grain elevators and picked them up.
Right.
The traditional conventional ones, of course, are made of wood, and they have a very distinctive shape, And when you're driving across the flatter part of the prairie, you see in the distance one of these grain elevators, and it's as if it's moving towards you. And this is, it's a part of this landscape that, it's a landscape that, that comes to you. It's a landscape that invites you to be part of it. And I'm going to change locales a little bit now, and I'm going to go to the Qu'Appelle Valley. The Qu'Appelle Valley, think of it as this 250-mile trench that the retreating glacier carved out. And it moves from northeast to southwest across the province. And in the true sense of the word, it's a true valley with the Saskatchewan River running through it. The Qu'Appelle Valley River running through it, and it's an oasis. It's called the Oasis of the Prairies. And I was there one day, and driving through the, and I stopped on this hill, this undulating hill, overlooking Echo Lake. It's called, and I'm sitting there, Roy, on the edge in the grasses of the prairie. And I know you'll understand this because you and your daughter, Tiffany, are horse people, and I'm a horse person, et cetera. And you'll understand. I'm sitting there with my back to the barbed wire fence, and I hear this quiet sound. And I turn around, and here is a mini herd of about four or five horses, a couple of mares and foals coming up behind me. And I swear, I know I'm being anthropomorphic here, but they came up to say, welcome to the prairie. And then...
Why did I think you were going to say that?
Yeah, and then, I swear this is true, a bird lands on the top wire of the fence, and I think it's a meadowlark. I didn't have the chance to check this out, but I'm pretty sure it is. The photograph is on the website. If it's not a meadowlark, please, someone...
Send us an email and find out, because Bob's an incurable romantic, so you'll...
Yeah, it is, but that's what romance is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing that I've learned from my experience in Saskatchewan, too, is that all travel is narrative, and the landscape is narrative. The stories are there. All you have to be able to do is...
Look and listen.
Interpret them.
Yeah, exactly.
And the signs are all there, but it's part of... And, you know, I think it reaffirmed for me, too, that this is what we're doing in Talking Travel. We are, and Carol's piece that I was just listening to, wonderful, you know, and Carol is so good at that. It's all about the story, the narrative, and it's timeless.
And the feeling, as you say, is so different. I can remember one time where I was in the Nevada desert, I was looking around, and it's the first time I'd been in that area, and an elderly lady came over to me, and she said, "Well, you look disappointed." And I said, "Well, I'm not disappointed, but it's just so different." She said, "Well, you must come from a green area." And
yeah.
I said, "Yes." And
yeah.
She said, "Well, if you look in and spend enough time, you will see the beauty in the brown and the other colors." And
yeah.
She was absolutely right. But you have to stop, as you say, and take a moment and dwell on it and think about it and get the feeling. And that's what it's all about.
And I want to mention, if I could, because a book, a very, very special book that I was reading while I was out there, and I put quotes into the article from the book, the title of which is River in a Dry Land, A Prairie Passage. And at one point, it's written by Trevor Harriet, and I've given the link there where you can see a review of the book. At one point, he's talking about the Qu'Appelle Valley that I was just referring to, and he says the following: "The valley itself, a relatively moist corridor of prairie aspiring to be woodland, is a refuge from the arid domain above, a hiding place from the unceasing wind." And this is the part I really love. "It appears to the traveler as a wandering line of returnings, a shelter you leave and rejoin and leave again." And I think he could be talking about all natural spaces. And as we become a much more urbanized world, a much more urbanized society, we we, of necessity, like the people of Saskatchewan, we start to redevelop, reconnect with the land and with the landscape. And in other words, we return to it because, let's face it, folks, that if we screw up in terms of the environment, there it goes. There's not going to be anything left.
Well,
but these are the lessons of the landscape that you get from Saskatchewan.
Now, just if we can for a moment, after appreciating all of this, and we get a little tired maybe and a little hungry, how about the food?
Well, especially, well, I had some great meals. Believe me, I had some great meals. In Regina, and I've given a reference here to a wonderful restaurant called The Willow on Wascana. Regina is built around an enormous, huge space in a man-made lake. Have you ever had bison mousse as an appetizer?
Not as an appetizer.
Okay,
no.
Well, I'll make it for you someday. You know, so I'll have to get the buffalo or the
bison. I'll take you up on that one. I've had some buffalo, yes.
Yeah. But, how about trout sushi?
Oof. No, yeah. that sounds wonderful.
Anyway, but whenever I go west in Canada, I always enjoy a good meal of beef. And in Saskatoon, I give the link for the restaurant there, too. It's a great restaurant that established by a Greek family that immigrated to the West, and this is also very much a part of the Saskatchewan experience. It is that westward movement. It is the immigration. It's a mixed blessing too, and it's part of the history, and it's part of what I'm writing about in this story when cultures clash. When the non-prairie culture meets the prairie culture, there's a fair amount of negotiation happening. Good thing about dining in Saskatchewan or just getting to know the people in Saskatchewan is that you take your time.
Right.
This is not a fast food country.
And as you say, in a nutshell, Saskatchewan is the kind of unique physical environment in which the individual can reconnect to basic values in life, to land, and to oneself.
You couldn't have said it better. But I want to end with a quote, if I could, Roy. Do you know the folk singer Joni Mitchell?
Mm-hmm.
Very famous, very famous. She's an icon in the music industry. She grew up in Saskatoon, in Saskatchewan, and she's known for a number of classic tunes. One of them is a song called Both Sides Now, a very famous refrain that goes, I've looked at clouds from both sides now.
Yes, I've heard, yes.
And still somehow, it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. But you know what? She does. And that song and that refrain is very much the sense of reconnecting that I think Saskatchewan is all about. So everyone, start to plan your summer vacation and look north. Go to the website. Check out. I've even put in a couple of maps there, a topographical map for you. No problem. And let's all get together in Saskatchewan.
And have some sushi,
yeah,
and some bison.
Bison mousse. Spread it on a cracker.
Sounds good to me, Bob. Wonderful report. And again, to those that are listening, if you go to Destination Canada, scroll down to Bob's article, and you can see the beautiful photos and read his article in depth. We've got to go. I thank you once again, and I know I'll be talking to you again soon.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob. Bye
for
now.
Bye-bye.
Well, Bob Fisher, and wonderful, a wonderful story, wonderful article. We've got to go, and let's just see what we've got here. You can check out our program schedule by going to ttrn.com for the latest guest information. And next week, guests are Peter Flaherty, Suzanne Wright, Johnny Jett. So tune in at 11 a.m. next Wednesday to the Travel Talk Radio Network. And this is Roy Lowy saying bye for now. No.